The World Bank project now lay exposed as a failed experiment. The bank's presence in the oil deal had ensured that Deby allocated somewhat more funds to domestic development than he would have otherwise, and it probably created more space for Chadian opposition parties and civil society than Deby would have otherwise allowed. Several thousand Chadian families in the South benefited from education and incomes by working inside the ExxonMobil compound. Otherwise, the project had not achieved its goals. It did not create a template for international management of resource wealth in poor countries. It did not prevent Deby from diverting funds to cronies and defense spending. It did not reduce corruption. It did not promote political or social stability. And it had not yet improved Chad's abysmal poverty indicators. In 2000, when the project was approved by the Clinton administration, Chad ranked 167th out of the 174 nations assessed by the United Nations Human Development Index, a table of quality of life indicators. And the UN estimated that Chad's average life expectancy was 47 years. In 2006, after 6 years of reform experimentation and several years of oil revenue, Chad ranked 171st out of 177 nations assessed, and its average life expectancy was 44 years. The oil project did, however, allow ExxonMobil and its partners to generate several billions of dollars of top-line revenue, to forge a path to profitability just as world oil prices spiked, and to embed themselves with Deby's regime, positioning the corporation for additional oil deals beyond those covered by the original bank-endorsed bargain. Nobody was held accountable for the experiment's failures. The project's successes belonged to Deby, ExxonMobil, and its consortium partners. Unlike the World Bank's representatives, ExxonMobil's rotating country managers in Chad managed President Deby's expectations successfully. "They were the first to help us," said Deby's advisor, Mohammed Hussein. "Every time we had problems with them, they accepted to sit down and discuss it. We understand they have more experience than us. We understand they are here to make benefits. We think our benefits are linked." Deby's goal after his confrontation with Wolfowitz was cash in hand. He needed funds right away to pay more military salaries, and he wanted to buy Russian-made Sukhoi attack aircraft and helicopters that could blast Sudanese rebels in pickup trucks from the air. ExxonMobil agreed to accelerate the timing of payments Chad was due under its original contract, without altering the basic revenue-sharing terms. Deby might be borrowing against his own future, precisely the opposite of the World Bank's goal for the country. But from ExxonMobil's perspective, that was his sovereign decision as a party to their contract. Chevron and Petronas, the project's minority partners, interpreted their tax obligations to Chad differently from ExxonMobil. As Deby received large payments from ExxonMobil in 2006, and as he sorted out a temporary understanding with the World Bank, he was surprised to learn that Chevron and Petronas believed they owed him nothing at the moment because they had yet to recoup certain costs and investments. Chevron cited a mysterious agreement dating to 2000 that the corporation claimed relieved it of certain tax burdens. Deby and his aides claimed to have never heard of the document. Deby did not take the news of Chevron's defiance calmly. On August 17, 2006, Ron Royal invited Ambassador Wall to a new office building ExxonMobil had opened in the capital. He noted that Deby had recently restored diplomatic relations with the People's Republic of China, and that Chinese oil executives were lurking around the capital. The ExxonMobil manager said he feared the American corporation's presence in the country might be threatened now by Chinese competition. The Chevron tax dispute seemed a symptom of rising troubles and could have knock-on effects on ExxonMobil's production and sale of Chadian oil. Deby's regime had also indicated that it might soon try to reopen the convention under which ExxonMobil operated. Given the highly tense environment, Royal told Wall, ExxonMobil would seek a meeting between President Deby and Rex Tillerson. Deby announced that he was throwing Chevron and Petronas out of Chad. "A revolution has begun," Deby announced to a government-organized crowd of 1,000 people in the capital. "We are only receiving the crumbs that are called royalties. This is a flagrant injustice. This would be a limited sort of revolution, however, he explained. One company has not failed in its obligations, the president said. I'm speaking of ExxonMobil, with whom we will continue to work. 2 days later, a young United States senator from Illinois arrived on an American military charter at N'Djamena's airport. Barack Obama, in office less than 2 years, was on his way back to the United States from travel to Kenya, Somalia, and Chad's eastern refugee camps. Obama had not been in national office when the World Bank's experimental project in Chad was born. His interest in the country derived from his interest in the Darfur crisis. Dabi's ambassador in Washington had met with Obama before he traveled and had recommended to Dabi that he make time to meet the senator personally when Obama passed through the capital. They scheduled a 30-minute courtesy call at the airport. Obama took his seat and thanked Dabi for his cooperation with the United States on Darfur and counterterrorism. Dabi in turn thanked Obama for visiting Chad and for his interest in Darfur. The crisis had profoundly affected Chad, he said. Cross-border raids into his country from Sudan continued. The April 13th raid on his capital had been an effort by Sudan to destabilize the country, bring in a regime favorable to Khartoum, and inflict harm on Sudanese refugees in Chad. They talked in some detail about negotiations underway to settle or at least stabilize the conflict in Darfur. Dabi rarely let a meeting with an American official go by without emphasizing Chad's needs and shopping lists. He told Obama that while their countries enjoyed cooperation on counterterrorism, Chadians still required equipment and had submitted requests in the past year to U.S. authorities. If a request was submitted, then the Pentagon would be reviewing it, Obama assured him.